for God is able. Amen. Amen. All right. How many of you know that God is amazing? Amen. How many of you know God is amazing? Amen. How many of you know He's able? Amen. Well, today I want to greet all of you in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Christ. Amen. And let's welcome our internet audience. Would you give them a hand? All the way from Pasadena, California. We thank the Lord. Those are listening. So today, I'm closing out my little series from the book of Jude, and by no means am I implying that I have exhausted the book, because really I have not. But I have just tried to touch on some things that I believe the Lord led me to preach. And then today I wanted to close out as I've been talking about this doxology. Y'all, how many of you ever heard of the word doxology? You've heard of doxology, right? Yeah. The word doxology comes from two Greek words, doxa and logos. And so it means the praise of God, a study in praise. Let our worshipers come in, right? A study in praise, because that's what we do. We give God praise, and we study His word, and we praise Him through song and through music. And so today we're going to look at a doxology from Jude. So if you look in your Bible, and you should see it on the screen here if you didn't bring a Bible, in Jude chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. I love these words. I absolutely love these words. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling, and to present you faultless, blameless, before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, right? Who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord one more praise, would you? So today I want to talk about our God is able. Let me just say, first of all, most people, when you think about when you came to faith in Christ, the circumstances that God used to bring you to Himself, a lot of us had one reservation. There may have been more, but there was one that probably stood out more than any other. It was not even whether God is who He says He is. Most of us believe that God is God, and we believe that He's who He says He is. So for most of us, that wasn't the reservation. I don't even think the reservation was whether the Bible is true. I think that most of us, as particularly in our culture as African Americans, black people, particularly because our ancestry is in the Deep South, I'm from the Deep South, and all of y'all from the South to some degree because of your ancestries. Okay? Amen. So I'm not saying anything foreign to you. So none of us really had a lot of doubts about the veracity of Scripture. In other words, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. So most of us didn't have that reservation. But if there was one reservation about coming to faith in Christ and being saved, let me tell you what I believe it is. It is, did we believe that God could keep us after we got saved? Because there's always a fear Lord, if I give my life to you, but what happens if I get weak and I decide that, you know, I don't walk with you the way I should walk with you. I don't pray the way I should pray. I don't read the Bible the way I should read it. Some of us have that kind of reservation. The question is, can God keep me after I get saved, after I come to faith in him? And today, I want to address that question, because the scripture says our God is able. And you know what? And it starts off with dealing with really the greatness of God. So when we talk about the greatness of God, you need to know that the God of the scriptures is a great God. You know why he's great? Listen to this. The Bible says that he is all-knowing. Do you understand what that means? All-knowing. David says it like this. He says that he is so all-knowing that even before I form the words in my mouth to speak them, God already knows what I'm going to say. Do you understand how all-knowing that he says he even knows the number of strands of hair in each individual's head? That sounds like it's all-knowing, doesn't it? You want to know how all-knowing he is? He is so all-knowing that he knows every detail of your life from the moment you were conceived until the day that you pass away. He knows every detail. So nothing you do, nothing you will ever catch God by surprise. Like, for example, when you do something crazy, like we all do sometimes, God is not in heaven and saying, "Oh my goodness, I had no clue." No. He knows everything from the cradle to the grave. He knows every detail about your life. And so one of the things I tell people then, so when you pray, and sometimes we are a little reluctant to talk to God about certain things, and I don't know if we don't do it because we think somehow he doesn't know about it, but just in case you were thinking like that, I just want you to know, go ahead and say it, because he already knows about it. Go ahead and tell him, "Lord, I messed up today, Lord. The way I was thinking just wasn't right. What I said to that person just wasn't Christ-like. Lord, where I went, the things I've done, none of those things, Lord, represented you in the way that they should." Might as well tell God, because he already knows every detail. I want to say something here. You and I may, in this lifetime, we may get away with some stuff. And yet, Moses had a word for the people back then. You know what it was? He says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." You know what? I got to tell you something. Even in my own life, some sins have found me out. How many of y'all can confess that some sins have found you out? I mean, some things you did years ago that you thought were way behind you, and you thought that they were not gonna, you know, the old folk used to say it's coming up again. You know, you thought that it was behind you, and it was, and all of a sudden, what you did 20 years ago is now making its way into your life. And sometimes it's not only in your life, but it goes even deeper. It goes into the lives of your loved ones. So God is all knowing, but guess what else? He is all powerful. God is an all powerful God. There's nothing that God can't do. That's why the scripture says here, that's why it says in Ephesians 3, that now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. God said, you just put it on the table, that nothing that you have, no problem, no situation, no circumstance, no issue in your life, there is nothing that I cannot handle. He is able. And so God is able. And then, of course, he's so great. This is one of the most beautiful things, is that he's present everywhere at the same time. See, you and I, we're limited by space, aren't we? Even the devil himself is not everywhere present. He's limited in terms of space. But God literally saturates the whole earth with his presence. So there is nowhere that you can be that God is not. Is that what David meant perhaps when he says, "If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I ascend into the heaven, you are there. In other words, wherever you are, wherever I go, God, you are there. So, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, those of you listening over the internet, I just come today, I want to tell you something. This is going to be a very short sermon because I'm just hitting and quitting it, all right? So, there's three things I want to say. The text lets us know, first of all, that God is able to keep us from falling. You know, I've thought about times in my life when I guess if I consider it a fall or a stumble. And what I've had to conclude is that the times that I have stumbled, it wasn't because I necessarily had to. It was because more times than not, I chose to. Now, I know sometimes that could be difficult for people to acknowledge, but I, at least, unless you just know something I don't know, I haven't met many people who are accidentally stumbling. You know, remember sometime when your children came to you when they were a child and they said, I did it on an accident. Or when they were still learning, when they were still learning the word, they may have said, I did it on an incident. Y'all remember those times when your kids, when they were little, when they say things like that? Daddy, I'm sorry, I did it on an incident. Okay. All right. So, but most times, more times than not, the choices we make is what contributes to our fall, to us stumbling. But the good news is that Jude says that, you know what? You don't have to fall. You don't have to. And even though you're not perfect, and even though you have the old sin nature that you still live in, but you don't necessarily, in other words, it's not a far gone conclusion, because the God we serve, Jude says, he's able. He's able to keep us from falling. Now, the word there is a strong word, because when we think about falling, here's what most of us think about. We think about maybe, you know, we sin. Another term we use, we backslid or backslide. But that word here, falling, is stronger. It's the Greek word. It's the same word that I've been talking about. It's the word apostasy. So when God says he's able to keep you from falling, surely he can keep you from sinning, because remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says that there is no temptation that is uncommon to man. In other words, every temptation that you and I face, it is a common thing. And guess what the Bible says? That even God has provided a way of escape, so that you and I do not have to yield to it. And if we yield to it, it doesn't mean that God isn't strong. It just means that we chose not to take God up on his word. But this word that Jude is using is a stronger word, because it's talking about apostatizing. In other words, what God is saying, and get this is deep. He's saying, not only can I keep you from falling in the sense of sinning, but I can keep you from falling away from the faith. Because remember, I told you that we're living in times where people are falling away from the faith. Not just from the church. That's the least of their problems. People are falling away from the faith. People who once upon a time profess faith in Christ, but who have walked away from him. God says he's able to keep us from apostatizing, walking away from Christ, walking away from the Christian faith. God is able to keep us, because so many things come at us, does it not? So many things, life becomes difficult. There are so many letdowns and disappointments, and things happen, and we wonder, where is God in the process? And since it don't appear that God is anywhere to be found, we begin to question the authenticity of our faith and whether God is real. And before long, we find ourselves walking away from the faith. But Jude says God is able to keep us from falling, keep us from apostatizing. Amen. Because let me tell you something, you're going to need the Lord. I'm going to need the Lord. We're going to need the Lord. And so he's able to keep us from falling. And by the way, if you do fall in terms of sin, do you know what David said in the Psalms? that the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. Watch this. And though he fall, that's not the same word Jude is using, but though he fall, though he stumbles, though he slips, right? God is able to hold it up. Why? Because he's God's man. He's God's woman. And so even though from time to time we may slip, and you know what? This world, when you think about this, we have the world. We have a whole lot of things against us. We have the devil against us. We have the flesh against us. So there are a lot of things lined up against us whereby we can fall. But even if you slip and fall that way, the Bible says that God will pick you up. Do I have a witness here today? God will pick you up, and God will uphold you with his powerful right hand. God is a good God. I was reading in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, and you know, I love when God began to shame people and make them understand who he is. God said, to whom do you liken unto me? These so-called false gods that you erected and you made for yourself, to whom do you liken unto me? Who is it that has spoken and the worlds have come into being? Who do you know that has that kind of power that he can speak and everything just comes into being? And then God is so powerful that he has what we call in theology ex nihilo power. In other words, what doesn't exist, God can speak it to bring it into existence. So whatever he needs, he has the power to make it happen. God is able to keep us from falling. Here's the second point. God is able to present us faultless. Oh my goodness. This is the one you ought to just shout about. Yeah, yeah. That he's able to present you faultless, blameless. Listen, blameless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God can keep me from falling. He can keep me from apostatizing. He can keep me from falling into sin. But he also has the ability to present me. Listen to this. Now, here's what's amazing about the text. Did you catch it? I don't believe y'all caught it. I don't believe y'all caught it. Because if you had caught it, you would be shouting right now. So I don't believe you caught it. But I caught it. God is able to present you, watch this, faultless, and to bring you into his own presence. In other words, God says, I'm holy. And the only people who could ever stand in front of me and with me on my throne in heaven are people who are holy, who are pure, who are blameless, who are faultless. And guess what? In your humanity, you and I can't do it. So Jesus is saying, I got to be the one who does it. So I'm gonna save you. And guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna impute my righteousness to your account, so that even practically speaking, watch this, I'm not perfect, but positionally speaking, I am perfect. In fact, I am so perfect that in the eyes of Almighty God, I am just as righteous as Jesus is in his presence. Huh. You want to know how he's able to do it? He can do it because he who knew no sin was made sin in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You don't want to know why he can present us blameless? Because he did an amazing exchange. You know what he did? He took my sin and your sin, but in the process, he gave us his righteousness. I want to tell you, if you are here today and if you're listening to me, if you haven't accepted that exchange, you ought to do it today. You ought to say to Jesus, Jesus, you can have my sin, my past sin, my present sin, my future sin. And Lord, I will receive by faith your righteousness, so that when the Father looks at me, he sees me as blameless. Do I have a witness here today? He sees me as blameless, faultless. And he's going to do it in his own presence. He said, look, I want you to go to heaven, but the only way you can go is that I'm going to have to bring you. And because my Father is holy, I know what kind of people that can come in his presence. And so since I'm righteous, and since my righteousness is put to your account, I'm going to be able to bring you and say, Daddy, look at your children. Daddy, look at your radiance in them, because they have been born again of the Spirit of God. They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And their names are written in the Lamb's book of life. They are yours, Lord. Jude says he's able. Anybody know he's able? He's able to present us blameless before the throne of God. You've heard me say, what's fascinating about salvation from a biblical perspective is that we all know that we are saved by God. We are saved for God's divine purposes. But we are also saved from God. Think about that. God loves you and he saves you, but he saves you from himself. Because if he doesn't save you, y'all got the drill, he's going to have to hurt you. If he doesn't save you, he's going to have to condemn you. And so what does he do? He saves you from himself. You know what? Think about this. Why would God tell us how to be made right with him? Because if he was not a true God, and if he didn't love us, he wouldn't tell us what it took to get right with him. Some of us would still be thinking, I'm just going to be a good person. And then you would die thinking you were going to go to heaven. And God would say, why should I let you into my heaven? And you would say, Lord, because I was a good person. And God would say, no, you were not good at all. But you know what? He told us how to be made right with him. And you know what it is? It's not effort. It's not performance on my part. But it's about a life of faith in Jesus and the finished work on the cross. It is about what he has done, what he has accomplished, what he represents. But it is mine by faith. And let me just say, there is a responsibility, because early in the text, in verse 20, for example, when Jude is talking about building yourself up, he says, keep yourself in the love of God. So in other words, don't you ever presume on God's grace. You know, people sometimes, well, I know the Lord loved me, so I'm just going to act up. You mess around, act up, and won't act no more. You can't presume on the grace of God. You can't do it. But he says, I'm going to show you how to get right. I'm going to present you faultless. And then, y'all, now you got to shout right now. Not only does he say, I'm going to present you. Notice, and here's my third, this is my final point. This is a short sermon. He says, I'm not just going to do it, but I'm going to put an exclamation point on it. I'm going to do it with exceeding joy. Oh. Jesus said, I love you so much. Look, I'm not going to come before the Father with you to present you like in a haphazard way. Well, Lord, this is the best I could do. No. I'm going to present you to my Father who is holy and righteous, and I'm going to do it with great joy. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that Jesus says, I got joy in my heart? Because when I went to the cross, look, I rejoiced knowing that going to the cross was going to make the people of God right with God. And so he says, I'm going to present you before the Father, and I'm going to do it with a great and profound sense of joy. Oh my goodness. I love this. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And then watch this. To God our Savior, who alone is wise. Nobody else is wise. All wisdom emanates from him, who alone is wise. And that's why James says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men and who upbraideth them not. In other words, he doesn't restrain it from you, but he lavishly puts it on you. He's the only one who has true wisdom. The wisdom of this world, Paul says, is devilish wisdom. Devilish. Who alone is wise? Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. God is able. And so, church, I just wanted to tell you today that you serve a God who is able to present, who is able to keep you from falling. He's able. You just gotta look to him and says, Lord, I need your strength. I need your help, dear God. I'm feeling weak, Lord. I'm feeling tempted to walk away. What I know is the truth, Lord, because I'm being beaten up on every side. We're in a political election cycle. And sometimes, Lord, my faith gets weak because of what I believe, and people are beating me up. And sometimes you want to walk away, but God says, don't walk away. I'm able. I'm able to keep you from falling. Even when you feel like giving in, when you feel like throwing in that towel to say that, hey, I'm knocked out of the game. God said, no, you're not. No, you're not. You know, today we hear this term all the time. People get through it and say, I'm done. Y'all have heard that before, right? I'm done. When it comes to people's marriages, I'm done. When it comes to other relationships, I'm done. In fact, you can go see a therapist, and the therapist, rather than trying to help you, they say, are you done? I'm done. But you know what God said? No, you're not done. You're not done. You know why you're not done? Because I'm able. And even though it may look bad, look, it's not over. You're not done because I'm able. I can change circumstances. I'm able. Even when the doors have been slammed shut in your face, God says, I'm able. The only question is, do you have the faith to believe it? Do you know that you know that God is able? So what is he able to do? Let me wrap it up. Here it is. He's able to keep us from falling, keep us from apostatizing, keeping us from yielding, keeping us from staying down when we have fallen. He's able to present us before the very throne of Almighty God, blameless. Can you imagine that? Let me say it again because y'all ain't heard it. That in the presence of God, in the eyes of God, because of the righteousness of Jesus that has been put to my account, church, God looks at me and he declares me righteous. Because it is a judicial act. See, practically, we don't fool anybody. We know we're not perfect, practically. But watch this. Here's what the objective is. God wants us to get, watch this, to a place so that practically, that it may become true practically, what is already true positionally. That is why the scripture says he is conforming us into the image of his son. And so what he's trying to do is make real on earth what is already real in heaven. Do y'all get that? Come on, give God some praise. That's my word for you today.